Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow sheep of your heavenly shepherd, think of all the various pictures that Scripture uses to portray God. Sometimes God would appear in a huge cloud filled with fire and smoke, surrounded by thunder and lightning, and the ground would shake. This represented God's almighty power and his holiness. Sometimes Scripture calls Jesus the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. This shows how Jesus is eternal and he never changes. You think of those famous statements from Jesus when he says, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life." Which shows that Jesus is the one and only Savior for all people. But perhaps the picture that is used most often in Scripture, and the one we might cherish the most, is the picture of God being our shepherd. What is it about that picture that we cherish so much? Maybe it's the fact that we see ourselves as those sheep who often wander astray, and yet Jesus is always there reaching out to us to bring us back to him. Maybe it's the fact that Jesus will do all things to help and to protect us, even laying down his life to save us. Maybe it's that picture that you view yourself as that little lamb in Jesus' arm, and he's there to comfort you and to give you rest. It's that picture of a shepherd giving rest to his sheep that I want us to focus on as we look at these words from Mark's gospel, so that we may find rest in our shepherd. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Last week, we heard how Jesus sent his disciples out two by two to do mission work. We don't know how long they were gone. But when they came back, the first thing they wanted to do was to report to Jesus what they had done. But do you think they did this in humility or not? Were they reporting to Jesus what they had done so they could make themselves feel better? Do you think they were reporting to Jesus in order to brag about themselves and everything that they had done? Do you think they were trying to compare each other with the other disciples, trying to outdo them? I mean, after all, these are the same disciples who would often argue among one another about who was the greatest. But you don't see the disciples doing that here. They just want to tell Jesus what they had done. We are given that same privilege to approach God and to report to him what we have done, but do we do this in humility or not? Do we ever report to Jesus what we have done with that attitude of, "Well, Lord, I did my good deed for today. Now I feel better about myself"? Do we ever boast about ourselves before God with this attitude of, "Lord, you are lucky to have me as a believer because of everything that I do"? Do we ever try to compare ourselves with others, trying to outdo them? And so we end up like the Pharisee in Jesus' parable who said, "Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other people. I do this, I do that, I even go the extra mile to do this thing. I am certainly better than everyone else." This is not something we should be doing, but it is something that we do. And think of how foolish this thinking and this attitude is. First of all, does bragging and boasting about yourself bring you any rest at all? It doesn't. Because as you are trying to be so perfect, when you fail, when you mess up, you are constantly in this cycle of trying to be better. And when you can't, it leaves you depressed. It doesn't bring you any rest. Two, bragging about yourself, boasting about yourself before God, only results in puffing yourself up, which leads to pride. And pride easily drives God out of our lives. Because if you are so good and perfect, then why do you even need Him? That's the logic of our own pride and the selfish boasting. 3, bragging about yourself before God. Does that impress God at all? The fact that you did one good today and now you feel better does not impress God, for He tells you don't do one good thing, but to do each and every good thing. Boasting about how great you are before God does not impress Him at all, for He still sees all the wrongs and the sins that you have committed. Comparing yourself before others, thinking that you are better than them, does not impress God at all. For God doesn't tell you to compare yourself to others. He says, compare yourself to Me, to be perfect and holy as I am. And finally, 4, do you ever see Jesus bragging and boasting about Himself before God and before others? Not at all. But we selfishly do. And so because of this pride, this selfish boasting and bragging about ourselves, God should point out all of our sins, not only to our face, but before everyone on the last day, and there to condemn us. But God doesn't do that, and here's why. Here's the solution to our pride and selfish boasting. The solution is found in Jesus. Even though Jesus did everything perfectly, He did it in humility. He didn't do it to glorify Himself. Rather, He said, I do it to glorify My Father in heaven. And God receives all of that glory, because through Christ, it shows the great grace of God that He would send His one and only Son to be perfect in our behalf and to lay down His life for our sins. And what Christ achieved satisfied God. And He now graciously gives us that salvation that Christ has won. Therefore, we don't need to brag or boast about anything before God. When it comes to being brought to faith, we simply receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We saw that miracle happen this morning through the waters of baptism. We don't do anything in baptism. God does everything for us. When it comes to our justification, it is finished. Christ has completed it. And God graciously grants that as righteousness to our account through faith in Him. When it comes to our sanctification, our lives for God, there is no place for boasting. For Scripture says, so you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. But this doesn't mean that what we do for God is in vain. It doesn't mean that God doesn't care at all. God remembers each and everything that you have done out of love for Him. And on the last day, He will give you praise. He will boast about what you have done before others, and He will declare to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness. This is how we have rest in our shepherd, because He has done everything for us, and what we do for Him, He remembers, and He is well pleased by it. But this is not the only way that we find rest in our shepherd. After the disciples came to Jesus and reported everything that they had done for Him, it says here, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, He said to them, come with Me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. The disciples didn't even have a chance to have rest with Jesus. And Jesus realizes that. He's not oblivious to it. And so he says to his disciples, come with me. It's not like the disciples had to beg and plead Jesus for this. He gives them this invitation. He tells them to come with him by themselves to a quiet place. It's not like the disciples could only be with Jesus when everyone was around and looking at them. Jesus wants to deal with them privately. He wants to deal with them one-on-one. And the whole purpose of this was for Jesus to give them rest. And giving them rest was not beyond his control or care. Jesus gives us this same invitation as well, but it can be an invitation that we don't always take advantage of. And so let me ask you, what problems are you going through that is causing you not to have any rest in your life? Is it problems with your financial situation, and you're worried about how to pay the bills, how to support the family, how to pay for the child's education, or you're worried if you're going to have enough money to retire? Is it problems with your family, your friends, your marriage, your children, that they cause you so many heartaches and headaches? Is it the problem of your own personal health or the health of someone else, and you don't know how to quite handle it? Is it problems with just the stress of everyday life that causes you not to sleep well at night, and you are filled with constant anxiety and personal worries? Whatever problems you are going through, find rest in your shepherd. It's not like we have to beg and plead to come before God. He gives us this invitation, no matter what we are going through, no matter how big or small the problem is. And he tells us to come to him by ourselves in a quiet place. It's not like you can only come to God when you're here in church and when everyone is looking. You can go to him privately, where he will deal with you one-on-one. As soon as you pray, dear Lord, you have his full and undivided attention. And where you find his response to your prayers, where you find him and his rest, is in his word. His word will give you rest, because in his word, it shows us Jesus and how he dealt with various people. Jesus dealt with people who had troubles with their finances, whether they were rich or they were poor. Jesus dealt with people whose families were shattered and broken, and people whose families were not that way. Jesus dealt with the healthy, the sick, the dying, and even the dead. Jesus dealt with people who had little worries in life, and he dealt with people that the only thing they could do was fall down at his feet begging for help. Jesus dealt with all of them. No matter what problem they had, he gave them rest, and it was not beyond his care or control. And no problem that you have is beyond his care or his control. Therefore, come to him, find him in his word, and there you will find rest in your shepherd. But that's not where this story ends. It's not just us who need rest in our shepherd. There are also others who need to find that rest in their shepherd. After Jesus left with his disciples to go to a solitary place, the people noticed where they were going. And so a huge crowd came upon Jesus and his disciples. And when Jesus saw them, how does he react? He doesn't tell them, "Leave me alone, so that I can be with my disciples." He doesn't say to them, "It's not convenient for me at this moment to help you out." Rather, Jesus looks at them, and it says, He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. He has compassion on them. His heart goes out to them because they were sheep without a shepherd. For the religious leaders were not teaching the people what they needed to hear. And therefore, they had no rest. But as they go to Jesus, he reaches out to them. He instructs them on what they need to hear. He feeds their souls so that they can have rest. And so what does this all teach us? One, it teaches us to always remember that at one point we too were sheep without a shepherd. And yet his heart went out to us and he brought us to him through his word. It teaches us that it's not like Jesus will only help us when it's convenient for him. He will always have compassion on us. And it also teaches us that once we have been refreshed and renourished by his word, receiving that rest, he uses us to bring rest to others. The perfect example that I can bring up that summarizes everything that I have said is looking at that account of Jesus after his resurrection with Peter. Peter denied knowing Jesus 3 times, even calling down curses from God upon himself if he even knew the man. And certainly, God should have condemned him right there. But he didn't, because he had compassion on Peter. And so after his resurrection, Jesus asked Peter the same question 3 times. Peter, do you love me? Peter knew why Jesus was doing this. He was cut to the heart, and he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And interestingly, do you remember how Jesus responded to him? Jesus didn't say, yes, Peter, I know you love me, even though Jesus knew that. He didn't say to Peter, I forgive you, although Jesus did. Rather, he said to Peter, feed my sheep. Why does he say that? It's because Peter has experienced that personal rest in his shepherd. And now he was to go out and feed Jesus' other sheep to bring them rest. Let us do the same. There are people out there who are suffering what we have gone through. There are people out there who are suffering what we are going through. There are people out there who are committing sins that we have done. There are people out there that have absolutely no rest for their souls. But when they see us having rest and peace in our lives, no matter what we go through, no matter what we have done, that sticks out to them. And that gives us that golden opportunity to feed their souls in order to give them rest in their shepherd. And let us not do this just once. Let us always do it, even when it's not the most convenient, because Jesus always has compassion on us. This is how we all find rest in our shepherd. And let us not boast and brag before God as we serve him, but let us give him thanks. Let us give thanks that he gives us these opportunities to show our love for him. Let us give thanks that he has given us rest for our souls. Let us give thanks that he uses us to bring rest to his other sheep. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The 3rd day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.